99.7 DJX, the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show podcast.
Supplying every demand.
On demand.
Good morning, Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. Hi there, Kelly.
Hello.
So are you living your best years right now, or are your best years still to come?
I think that's open to interpretation, but I think we're in a really good space right now. With kids, there are new things that come with every stage.
Sure.
I mean, I really miss the baby stage. Mm-hmm. There are wonderful things about that. Toddler stage, a little dicey.
Mm-hmm.
And now, we're in a really fun space at 11 and 9, and things are kind of awesome in a lot of new ways. So, yeah, I think we're good. We're in a good space.
Okay, so a new poll asked people which decade represented or will represent your best years. The biggest group, with 24% of the respondents saying their 30s being the best years of their life.
And I would agree with that in a lot of ways.
And, for a lot of people, that is like, your new parents, you're coming into your own in your career.
Yeah.
Maybe you're getting, a new house. You're starting to get more financially like stable. So
I get
yeah,
all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree.
And then, the next age group being their 20s. Being the best years of their lives. And, I could see that where it's like, okay, you're out of school. You are new. You're learning about relationships, and maybe you're dating and you're having fun, just not having basically
freedom,
having the outlook of I've still got the rest of my life in front of me.
Exactly. You change a lot in your 20s. You're finding yourself. You're finding your way. You're establishing a career. You pretty much have to just worry about the trajectory
one person
of your life.
Yeah, exactly. And that's you. The next age group would be the 40s, 50% saying the 40s are the best years of their lives. Then 50s, 60s, under 20 was about 6%. 70s and then finally 80s. So basically, when you break it down, the respondents, the majority of people seem to choose the current age as their best years, which is kind of nice to see that most people are like, I'm living the best years right now. And that's a good outlook.
And again, I think it all depends on where you are in your life. And I think, if you have a positive outlook on it, and we don't know what it's like to be 80 yet.
No.
It may be the very best years. Who knows?
I mean, maybe 1% said that, but that may be only because not very many 80-year-olds were surveyed in this poll. So anyways,
I was going to ask that. I was going to say, what were the ages of the respondents? Because I think that would definitely affect the answers.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, you could be living your best years right now with the largest group saying in their 30s. Or maybe you're looking ahead and going, man, I'm excited because best years of my life is still to come. So that's exciting too. So
yeah, I don't think I want to go through life saying, man, the best years of my life
have passed.
Already done.
Right. I know.
That's depressing.
Yeah, for sure. All right. It's the Ben and Kelly Show. Good morning. Every hour, feel good stories. Kelly K.
Dan O'Connor, he lives in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Jumped into Lake Michigan to treat a hangover last June.
That'll wake you up.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That'll do the job, probably.
Yeah, that's a cold lake.
Yeah, so he said, I started jumping in Lake Michigan on June 13th, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first day. And the first day I came down here was because I was hungover, and it felt so good. I just started doing it every day.
Oh, my gosh.
He found it was a really good way to clear his mind of the world's ills. Lots of things were going on in the world that time. And he said, it did get a little dicey in the winter, as you could guess.
Ooh, yeah. What did he do when that lake freezes over?
Well, he'd get cuts and scrapes from hacking through the ice to make a large enough hole for him to reach the water.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It started off as a hangover cure. Then it kind of morphed into, it's a great way to just kind of forget about everything that's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And just refresh. And then he started partnering with a local group to raise money for live music venues that had took a financial beating during the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
And he said, people started donating right away.
That is cool.
So he ended up helping quite a few venues, and there you go. Jumping into, I don't know if he's going to continue it past the 365 days that he's done, but you know, it was a good run if he doesn't.
Wow. Okay.
I don't blame him with the wintertime situation.
I was going
to
say,
he wants to bail.
Yeah, there are plenty of like little beach fronts there along Lake Michigan, even in the city, even in, and I say city, I mean, it's Chicago is what I'm talking about. But yeah, I mean, that lake is, it's deep and it's cold.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I can understand, but what a cool story there.
From the picture, it doesn't look like he's got floaties or anything. So he's jumping in, just his trunks. There you go. You can see his story. We'll tweet it at Ben and Kelly Show.
All right, setting the bar. Kelly, explain what a setting the bar story is.
Well, it's just a small little hurdle we think you can jump over, and your day will still be great despite anything bad that might happen to you.
Yeah, this story out of Oregon, and I'm going to give you a couple key components of this story. There is a thief in the town of Beaverton, Oregon. It's a suburb of Portland there. There's a thief. The thief's mom is apologizing to the neighbors and asking for forgiveness, kind of shrugging the shoulders, saying, well, it happens and it's not the first time. So let's get to the setting the bar story. If you can manage to make it through the day without having a jerk cat burglarize your neighborhood, then you're doing okay.
So the thief is a cat.
Esme. Yeah, the cat's name is Esme. Kate is the mom. She had to literally post a sign in her yard saying, my cat is a thief. And then kind of she strung almost like a clothesline from the sign to another part of her yard. And she hung different items that the cat would steal from around the neighborhood and bring to her house on this line. Things like garden gloves, things like aprons, things like shirts, hats, whatever the cat could get its grubby little paws on and steal from other people, she would bring kind of as a, hey, look, mom, look what I got. And
I've heard cats do a lot of, hey, look, mom. A lot of it has to do with, like, you know, small animals and such.
Yeah. I mean, and I own three cats. I will say all three of them are jerks in their own special way. Fred, my fat son, he terrorizes the other two and just doesn't give two craps about it. Maeve, the wily little gray one, she has claws that will literally, she tries to scratch on every piece of furniture we have in our house that makes me want to literally throw her outside. And then Guinness is our old cranky one who hates everyone. So.
Okay. But none of them are kleptos.
No, none of them are kleptos, but Guinness will, my outdoor cat will, hunt birds for sport. And will try to bring birds still living that are in her mouth into the house. So yeah, cats do that. So then back to Kate and her thief jerk cat had to literally post this sort of apology. And she's previously had to return these items door to door, but then
she did an apology to her.
Yeah, she did. And so these items started piling up so much. She's like, I don't know where all these are coming from. So I just started like displaying them in my yard saying, hey, if you recognize something, come get it. It's my jerk cat.
Yeah. You know what? And the sign that she made looks like it could be like a storefront sign.
Yeah. It's really cute. It is really artistic. And it just says, my cat is a thief. Please take these items if they are yours.
Yeah, and it's all strung out on a clothesline. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of genius and entertaining. And apparently it's worked because, you know, like a lot of people have found this stuff and taken it.
Well, there you go. So again, if you can manage to make it through the day without having a cat who burglarizes your neighbors.
Oh, wow.
Then you're doing okay. But I think Kate is at least going the right way in trying to address it with the neighborhood.
Well, yeah, the funny thing is, too, she apparently had the uncanny ability to bring in stuff that had to do with what they were doing at the time. Like, she brought tape and paint roller covers when they were painting their daughter's bedroom.
Cats are smart, and they're jerks.
Wow.
And that's setting the bar. 99.7 DJX. Man, I saw, and it's hard for me to see the name Mackenzie Scott and not immediately go, okay, who is that? How do I know that name? Because, you know, for years and years and years, she was in the shadow of Jeff Bezos, her husband. founder
of
Amazon.
Him.
Yeah, exactly. We all know Jeff Bezos. She, you know, recently was divorced and instantly became, in the divorce, like something like the third richest person in the world.
Yeah, she's like a gertrillionaire.
Yeah, and so, but since then, she has been determined to give it away. And so far, she has donated $8.5 billion since her divorce.
Wow.
I know. And I'm like, holy cow, that is like, I can't even fathom that amount of money, having that amount of money, but then to give it away and still have so much that you're still so rich is just amazing to me. So,
and didn't she just get like remarried to like a teacher or something?
Yeah.
And he was all like, yeah, let's give it away. But he doesn't need to keep it either.
I mean, pretty amazing. I know, it is pretty amazing. And so, I mean, she is doing some good with that money, it looks like. And in other Jeff Bezos, he's super rich news. There is now a petition gathering. I mean, it's still small, so I don't think this is going to go anywhere.
It's got a big mountain to climb.
It does, but it so far has over 5,000 signatures. But people want to see Jeff Bezos purchase the Mona Lisa, you know, the painting, and eat it.
Okay. All right. All right. 5,000 people sign that. They'd like to see that happen.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I guess France is never going to sell the Mona Lisa.
No, especially not to have someone eat it.
It's valued at $60 billion.
Sure.
But Jeff Bezos... So far, there's this petition on change.org to have him purchase it and eat the Mona Lisa. So,
wow.
You got his ex-wife giving away billions of dollars in to charitable foundations. And then you've got change.org petitions to have her ex-husband buy the Mona Lisa and eat it. Okay.
That's a very... Those are two very different ends of the scale.
All right, Kelly, what do you got?
So this is really amazing. Thanks to Samuel Forey for sending us this link to his romantic movie that he put together over the course of a year leading up to proposing to his girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he takes us on the entire journey, asks her brother for permission to marry his sister, his daughter. He asked his own daughter if she'd be okay with Katie being her stepmom. Mm-hmm. She said yes.
Okay, good.
And even included Katie's late father in it.
Dear Lex, I really wish I would have had the chance to admit you. Today is the day that I ask your daughter to be my wife.
Oh, wow. He's kneeling in front of his grave.
Yes. Your essence is on Katie all the time, and I know how much you mean to her. So I could not have asked for Katie's hand in marriage without including yourself. I told Katie about the time right after we had first started dating that I had prayed and made a promise to you. A promise that I would be loyal to her and would never hurt her. And that I would love her the very best that I could. This time, I'm requesting an extension on that promise. One that will last forever.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, and then he leaves a letter at the grave and goes on to, this all went down at Tinseltown Theater, where she thought that she was just there to watch a movie and a bunch of random people were behind her.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't just a bunch of random people.
So, after all the hardships you've been through, God was like, Katie needs a certain type of person that's going to love her this certain type of way. So what he did was, he gave you three of us. I meant it when I said, I never want to be without you for as long as I live. So in front of God and all these random crying people, they're not random, they're our family.
Oh, oh my God.
Will you marry me?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, it's so amazing.
So this is...
Look at that.
I mean, I was literally sobbing yesterday when I watched this thing. I thought it was so incredible. So much work went into it. A lot of people helped him pull this off over the course of a year. So we've got the entire thing. I highly recommend. We are not going to play the entire 17-minute movie, but you should watch it. And we've got it up on our website at WDJX.com. Got it up on Facebook, and we'll tweet it out too. So congratulations to Sam and Katie. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Man, what a great proposal story that is.
That is pretty epic.
Fantastic. All right, cool. Good feel good there. Brought to you by Care Heating and Cooling on 99.7 DJX.
Coming up on the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show.
So we go from that blossoming love to another form of blossoming love. Unmissed connections. You know, maybe you saw the potential love of your life on a Zoom PTA meeting. Or maybe he walked in while you were working at a candle shop.
All right.
So when you do find that person and you can't get their name or number in the moment, you go to missed connections. So we got that for you coming up in about 10 minutes on DJX.
When you strike out in real life, you can always try
Craigslist missed connections. Would you like to go first?
I would. It's a woman for man. I saw you on the Zoom PTA meeting.
Ah, okay.
All righty. Here we go. You were the brown-haired divorced gentleman with glasses, smoking a pipe, and rocking a tweed jacket.
Oh!
Yeah, that's a pretty specific picture.
Mm-hmm.
I was a single mommy with a bright yellow shirt that said, "You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning."
I mean, it's true right there. True.
That is a true statement. I kept volunteering to be paired with you on certain fundraisers, but if I'm honest, I kept hoping you would DM me after the meeting and invite me to be on Grind Patrol with you. Smiley face.
Is that a committee that we can be a part of?
I don't know. Is that an official committee?
I don't know.
Or do they just go to the school dances and make sure the kids aren't dancing inappropriately? I don't know. At one point during the meeting, you raised your voice and said, "I definitely think there needs to be more tutors available."
Amen. Yeah.
I just love when a man takes control.
Oh.
That's when I sent you a private message that asked if you were happy with the school nurse.
Okay.
Because if not, I think we could play doctor.
Oh, okay. Wow.
All right.
Putting it out there.
Maybe it's the wine.
You think?
But I definitely think you would make an awesome stepdad to Keegan and Marco.
Aw, boys.
Message me if you see this, because you must have accidentally blocked me online.
Whoops. Whoops. Sounds like she's shot her shot before.
I think so. And it also sounds like he is taken with the school nurse.
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe.
This is
Craigslist missed connections.
This is another woman for man.
Oh, this is great.
Do you want to handle this or you want me to?
No. I feel like it would be unfair for me to do both of these. I feel as though, let's go ahead and showcase you on this one, Sparky.
This one's titled Smell You Later. I was restocking the shelves at the candle store when you walked in. That's when I noticed a few things about you immediately.
Uh-huh.
Hair on point. Mm. Pants on point.
Okay.
Lips on pout. Winky face. I sauntered over to you and gave you some brutal side eye and said, "Excuse me, sir. Can I service you today?"
Oh my God. Did she mean, can I serve you?
I don't know what she meant. You looked me up and down and told me you were looking for your new signature scent. That's when I was able to go off about the rejuvenating power of Desert Berry.
Oh, really? That sounds informative.
Before I knew it, the conversation was getting too intense. I decided to break the tension by making a candle joke.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
And told you, "I don't judge men based on the size of their wicks."
That's exactly where I thought she was going.
You gave me a naughty smirk and told me I didn't need to worry about that. Your wick was just fine.
Oh, great. That's really valuable information. Thank you for that.
I told you there was a back room where we can try out candles we want. Maybe I could see your wick.
Oh, God.
You left without buying anything.
Maybe because I called you juicy fruit under my breath and you heard me. So here's my offer.
Oh, okay.
Come back to the store. And I promise to give you your free sample. And I'm not talking about candles.
Oh, my God.
No. Wink.
No, he's never coming back. He's never coming back. No, he's not.
Or is he? I don't know.
I don't think there's a back room, typically. Right?
They've got to store those candles that are not on the floor somewhere, right?
I think we keep our wicks to ourselves, though, really, honestly.
Kelly, what fun is that, then? Can a woman have some fun in the candle store? All right. We hope these people find one another.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
This has been
Craigslist Missed Connection.
If you ever have an issue and you just want the opinion of the Ben and Kelly Show listeners, you can always shoot us a message at Ben and Kelly Show. We'll toss it out and see what we can do for you here. Kelly, you want to handle this one?
Sure. They said, this should be a quick one for you all. So here we go.
Okay.
If you're out to eat with your boss and they don't finish their food, is it okay to ask for their leftovers?
Okay. The boss is
so
leftovers?
They go on to explain, I did this the other day and my other coworkers were appalled.
Mm-hmm.
Who hasn't done this? We had lunch with the owner of our company. I had only met her twice, but we seemed really hit it off.
Okay.
My boss ate only one bite of her steak and only half of her sweet potato.
When they
asked her if she wanted it boxed, she said, oh no, I have to catch a flight.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't seem annoyed by me asking and she gave me the food without incident.
Okay.
But when my coworkers and I got back to the car together, they all said it was embarrassing what I did and that I didn't do anything to help out my career.
Oh.
Did I really do anything wrong? I don't like to waste food. And this was going to waste. She wasn't going to take it with her. So what's the problem?
Well, I'm going to say out the gate, I don't think that food was going to go to waste because probably the back crew in the restaurant was probably going to dive in on that.
That's true. We have heard stories where that people can do that.
Yeah, someone leaves a big, nice, expensive, juicy steak and only eats like a few bites out of it, you cut that section off and you enjoy.
You eat like a king.
You eat like a king.
I don't know. As far as like the etiquette though, with that goes, I mean, I can kind of say like people don't necessarily do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with your boss who you may not know very well.
Well,
if it's someone that you know really well.
But she said they hit it off and she had Christopher texted and said, I just vomited in my mouth. Yeah. I mean, the idea, I get it. The idea of eating someone's leftovers is absolutely repulsive. And
yeah. No, I get it.
And I don't do that. And I remember even when I was in college and I worked at a deli and someone wouldn't even touch half of their 12-inch sandwich. Like we'd cut it in half. They'd only eat half of it and leave the other half on the table and just leave, right? And so we'd pick that up, we'd bust the table, and some people that I worked with would be like, that's perfectly fine. And they would have at it. I'd be like, no, you can't do that.
Oh,
you can't do that.
Wow.
But we've even talked to, waiters and servers and those who typically do, just cut the section off that the person didn't eat and they'll have,
yeah.
Especially if it's a juicy steak. So, maybe she worked in the food industry before her current position. She had a comfort level with her boss. I don't think if I were the boss, I don't think this is this is going to hurt your career that you've asked for
my
leftovers.
This is going to be like a ding on your record.
I mean,
I'm
not, who is she? Meredith in The Devil Wears Prada?
Meryl Streep.
I am not her. And so I don't think most people would necessarily be absolutely repulsed unless she's, everybody is messaging us and just saying, do not take your boss's leftovers.
Oh, okay. All right. So I think that's where we're going to land, right? The consensus seems to be rolling in. Like, don't do that again.
Okay. So like, I say,
maybe enjoy it the one time you did, but hey, maybe let's not make a practice of it.
Yeah. I don't see how. I'm going to say I don't think it was wrong if in the moment she felt a connection with the boss. She's like, you're not going to take that? You mind? And the boss is like, yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, take it.
Yeah.
You know, if it was I think it's kind of a thing. Yeah, I mean, of course, we weren't there. We don't know if the boss was like, sure. Okay. You know, I mean, we don't know how the boss reacted to that question.
Like, what kind of a person am I if I just say no?
Yeah.
It should go in the trash.
No, this needs to go in the trash. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or,
I mean, they probably felt like they couldn't say that either.
Or here's what she should have done. And now hindsight's, of course, 2020. But
next time.
Next time. You say, hey, do you mind if I take this? I'll cut it up for my dog.
Oh, yes. That's a good one. Say the dog wants it.
Regardless of whether or not you have a dog,
is that more acceptable?
I think because, you're like, you know what? My dog would love this porterhouse.
Uh-huh.
So,
and then you go home and you cut off the edge.
Or you don't cut off the edge. You just reheat it and just, you know what? I really love my boss. I love my boss's germs too.
All right,
hindsight, let's maybe say it was for the dog. Let's not do it again. Did she do anything wrong?
I guess it really depends on what the boss feels.
That's really
the person that would be injured in this scenario, if we're going to call it that.
Did she hurt her career? I don't think so. I think it's just food. I think it's a one-time thing. It's not like she stole from the company. You know?
No, yes.
She just asked for the leftovers.
But here is the question. Is she going to get invited out to eat with the boss again? Or is the boss going to be kind of, you know what? I don't think. Or at least not sit by them? I don't know.
There you go.
Then are you going to reach across the table and be like, hey, are you going to eat that?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I don't think they're going to do that.
All right. So, yeah, I think we can just kind of wrap this up here and say, hey, you know what? Maybe you blame the dog if you want someone's leftovers, especially if it's your boss's. But
ooh, Becca said, I take leftovers for homeless.
Oh, well.
That's charitable. And honorable.
Well, yes, but she could also say that as an excuse, especially if she just wants to eat it herself.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, right, so there you go.
But also a better practice just in general.
Okay. There you go. Group therapy. There were more Google Trends. Those Google Trend data, I think, is always interesting to take a look at. But, you know, they were looking at commonly misspelled words. And, you know, for 2020, the most commonly misspelled word was quarantine, which... that was, you know, a big word thrown around in the year 2020. That was the most misspelled word overall. But there are still 12 states where that still tops the list halfway into 2021. The most common misspelling of quarantine, corn-teen.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
Corn-teen. Two words.
Corn-teen.
Quarantine.
Yeah. All right.
Did you hear? We don't have to quarantine anymore. That's great. Right. Great news.
It's so great.
So if you're looking in the state of Indiana or looking in the state of Kentucky, thankfully we were not on the list of states misspelling still quarantine. However.
Okay. So we got it.
Yeah. However, Kentucky.
Uh-oh.
The word favorite is a trouble spot for us.
We cannot spell favor right.
I don't know if it's because we've seen so many British shows that puts the U in there.
Is that what we're doing? I doubt that we're putting the U in there.
But
in
yes, spelling favorite is a big hurdle for the state of Kentucky.
That's a big mountain to climb for us.
The number one misspelled word in Kentucky.
Really?
In Indiana. Indiana. The word witch.
Okay.
Like W-H-I-C-H, witch.
Oh, witch. I was thinking like black pointy hat witch. No, it's the other witch.
Well,
they can't spell witch? Like, which one are you talking about?
Yeah, maybe they just leave the H out. I don't know.
Are they spelling it W-I-C-H?
I think that's great.
Oh, Indiana.
Look, I mean, we can't point fingers if...
No, we can't.
If we're misspelling favorite or... but whatever.
I want to know, like, what is... Everyone kind of has, like, a word or words that you all feel like you always have to look up if you're typing it. And you're like, how do you spell that again? What is that for you?
I always sound out... Whenever I write Wednesday, I always write Wednesday, or I always say Wednesday as I'm writing it out. I don't misspell it, but I say it. And then
why did we put the D in there?
And then weird. Business. I'm always like busyness. And then B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S. Busyness.
But that is that to tell you how to spell it? It's not. It's just
I think it's
you just make it a joke for yourself, right? You don't really question how to spell those words, right?
No, and then restaurant is another one that I like. I always go resta urant.
Okay.
So I say that in my head as I'm spelling it, just so I remember. There's the A, then the U before rant. So
okay. Well, Heather says guarantee is hard for me.
Yeah, guarantee is a tough one. Sure.
Yeah.
So, anyways, most misspelled words. Favorite in Kentucky. Which in Indiana.
Oh, wow. Well, you know what? I think benefited is always a word for me. Like, I feel like it needs two T's, but it's supposed to have one T.
Oh, yeah. And I always mix up canceled, like whether there's one L or two L's.
That's the
or
same.
Whatever.
Well, that's those two get me all the time. Yeah. Canceled and benefited.
All right. Hey, you know what? I just appreciate you, Indiana, and I appreciate you, Kentucky. You just keep being you.
When you need advice, come to Ben and Kelly. It's group therapy on 99.7 DJX.
Yeah, sometimes you can't really ask anybody around you because you're afraid of what they'll say. So you just come to us and we'll toss it out to our listeners and, you know, because we don't have any emotional investment in your situation.
No, but also be aware that there could be some honesty coming your way that might be hard to hear.
Yeah, so she writes, hey guys, first of all, I'm in my late 30s, and a while ago, because of the pandemic, I started chatting online with this guy. We had gotten pretty close when he suddenly ghosted me. I was stung, but had been forewarned that this sort of thing happens when you're online dating, so I quietly nursed my ego and moved on. Lo and behold, a few weeks later, and who do I see appear under a different account? This guy.
A different account?
Yep.
Wow.
So in a moment of stupidity, I messaged him under a fake account and got him talking.
Okay.
I just wanted to know what I had done wrong by asking about, quote, previous relationships. And intended just to let it go out after that. In this whole thing, we've gotten really close.
Uh-oh.
He still has no idea of my real identity. He told me the last girl he was with, definitely me, same age, same part of town, came across as a little too needy for him, so he ghosted her and he was ashamed of it. He's confided some deeply personal things to me, and last night he told me he loved me.
Oh no.
And that I was making him a better man.
Oh.
And if I'm honest, I'm getting strong feelings for him too. I cannot see a way out of this. We haven't yet met, and I know as soon as we do, he'll know who I really am. My last profile had been real pictures of me, and this new one doesn't.
Oh, no. Oh, oh no. Oh, no.
I did something.
This is where the deceivery comes in.
Yeah, deceivery, yeah. She finishes up and says, I did something so wrong, and I continue to propagate this wrongdoing every day. But but I risk humiliating and upsetting this man who, in short, doesn't deserve this. I know you're going to be brutal, and I deserve that. But how do I get out of this without destroying him? All right, 502-571-9970. This is a doozy.
Oh, yeah, it is. I get that it kind of started off innocent a little, but then we are in deep at this point. He loves her. He dropped the L word.
Yeah, and it's tough when you start digging that hole and you're like, you know what, I can still jump out. I'm only knee deep into this hole so far. I can still jump out, and all of a sudden, you know what, I'm hip deep now, but you know what, I can still climb out of this hole. It's no big deal. You know what, I'm chest deep. I can still see the ground. I'm fine. No issues here. It's like, you know what, I'm still, my hair is above ground. My hair is, I can still climb out of this hole. And then all of a sudden, you're so deep in that you can't even climb yourself out. So Like,
oh, you are living in the sea of deception, and he loves you, and he is planning forever, probably. Oh, this is not good.
I mean, all right.
So I have this pit in my stomach for her.
It's easy for me to say, and I'm just going to say it, ripping the Band-Aid off, I think, is the easiest way to go about it, and just be like, look, this is who I really am. I'm sorry. I know you're going to hate me. This may have ruined it, but this is who I am. But I don't know if maybe that's the best way to approach it. Maybe there's a gentler way to approach this, and I think that's what she's asking. So I don't know if any of you have had experience of being the catfish, like literally being the cat. I don't mean being catfished, or maybe you've been catfished and you're all right with it now, you know, and you can weigh in on this.
This one's going to sting any way you slice it. And I don't know, like, I am sitting here trying to rack my brain. What is something that she can say to reveal the truth, but then not completely like ruin the relationship? Because it sounds like they now have something real, even though it's kind of based on something fake.
Yeah. 502-571-997 is group therapy. We are in catfish world here on 99.7 DJX. Group therapy. She was ghosted by him online, then wound up catfishing the same guy later just to find out why. Then they started falling in love. Oh, no. Now she's all wondering.
Well, she used different pictures the second time. Yeah. So he has no idea.
No idea.
It's the first girl.
And now she's wondering, hey, how do I get out of this without destroying him?
And I love him.
And basically, her end game is they live happily ever after, I think.
Well, yes, I don't think she wants to end it at this point. No. She said she feels really strongly about him, too, and he's dropped the L word.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's in deep. He's confessed deeply personal things to her. He's really connected with her, like on this really, really deep level. He's probably thinking they have a future. And, man, Kim said honesty is the best policy. You got to come clean. Bottom line, face the consequences no matter what they are. You created this mess. Carrying this on any longer only makes it worse. Good luck.
Yeah, Kristen online posts, you all sound like the perfect match for each other. He ghosted you, so you catfish him. Good luck with that mess.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so I want to know if there's someone who has experience with this. Victoria, you do, right?
Well, I have been in that exact situation just played out over the past few weeks. So
no.
I know exactly what position she's in, and I can tell you what I did.
Okay.
So I met someone online. He's actually an Indiana State Trooper. We went out for a few weeks. He completely ghosted me. I didn't know what had happened, but one thing that drives me crazy about what she said was she said, I wondered what I did wrong. Most of the time when people ghost you, it's all about them. It's not about her. So that's one thing. She shouldn't assume it was her.
Right.
And then he resurfaced. He started texting me again and kind of said, oh, I got scared of my feelings, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So we dated for 3 more months. And he's ghosted me yet again. So I went online, and he had blocked me, so I couldn't see that he was online.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that, so to make sure that he was or wasn't online, because he's a police officer, I was actually worried something had happened to him.
Oh, right.
And so I created another profile, did the same thing she did, and there he was, active online, sent him messages, he immediately responded. And then when he was talking about meeting, I said, no way, you know, you're a jerk, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is Victoria. and then just blocked him and left it at that. So I say once a ghoster, there's something wrong there with, you know, either immaturity or lack of communication. But her issue is he thought she was clingy. Now he's going to think she's crazy.
Yeah,
so she's going to have to just, like you said, rip off the Band-Aid and just move on. Because if he ghosted her for thinking she was clingy, he's definitely not going to say, oh, okay, I understand, and let's see if we can make this thing work.
So, Victoria, you're saying, you know what? I don't see a future in this. You should probably just move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. Because he was scared with her being clingy. Now
right.
He's going to say, this chick's crazy.
Yeah. All right, Victoria, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, have a good one.
Bye.
Hey there, Britt.
Hey. Okay, so I'm calling about Miss Catfish.
Yes.
If she comes out and is honest with him about what she did, she's going to totally upset him. He's going to be sunk. But at the same time, I understand why she did it. She's curious, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. She needs to, it started in deceit, it needs to end in deceit. She should.
Oh, wow. This is maybe the first time I've ever heard this. All right, go ahead.
Okay. So here's the thing. She needs to come up with some kind of juicy story of why she couldn't be honest, and she needs to say that she's really a man. I don't know. But I'm just saying she needs to come up with something juicy to say the reason why she couldn't be honest, and she needs to end it. Sorry. It's not going to start off well whatsoever for her.
Okay, so Britt, you don't see a future in this, and you're saying, look, she's just got to get out of this.
She does. She's, like I said, it started in deceit. It needs to end in deceit, and she needs to move on.
All right, Britt, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye.
All right, see ya.
Oh, this is so interesting. Like, I'm thinking, okay, so there was a really, Victoria had a really good point, the whole stage five clinger.
Yeah.
I'll find you.
Yeah,
and
right.
She did, and now she's full on crazy.
Right.
So, yeah, I feel like that is going to be very difficult to get over. But the whole making up a big old crazy,
I'm actually a man.
Backstory, hey! Yeah, that's a little excessive. So many people are just like, listen, he ghosted you, you ghost him, end of story.
Yeah, Bahi's all like, yeah, ghost him, karma, watch him come back to your real account crying because now he knows what it's like.
Oh, wow. Well, that could work.
All right. Well,
I think all of us are thinking maybe you guys aren't running off into the sunset together forever and forever.
So, yeah, I mean, we got to wrap this up, but you know, I think there's a lot of people who think that, you know what, you guys may be meant for each other, but I'm going to stick with, I think you've got to just rip the Band-Aid off. If you really want to be a part of his life, he told you he loves you.
Yeah, you have to be honest.
Then you
you tell him the whole, what you told us.
Be like, the hole started getting deeper and, you know, just be like 100 with him. And, it, you know, if he's like, oh, ha ha ha, okay. Ghost.
I don't think he's going to be like that. I really don't. And you know what? I don't think we send him this podcast either. I really don't. Like, because then it's like clingy to crazy to put me on blast on the radio. I don't think that's going to go well.
Ah, no, it's great. Send him the podcast. It'll be
send
great. Actually, let us talk to him. I want to talk to this guy. Talk to this guy now. All right. If you have an opinion or maybe you want to share your experience with all that, the Facebook post is up at Ben and Kelly Show. Quick question, Kelly.
Uh-huh.
Tweeted this out at 9970JX earlier this morning, but is there a food item or a grocery item that you always go for the name brand? You never buy the generic or knockoff.
Yes, fruit cups, like mandarin oranges and the little like cherry mixed fruit cups.
Does it have to be like what, Dole?
It has to be Dole, okay. 100% juice.
Okay.
Because the kids know the difference.
Really?
Yes, 100%. I've tried to do like the store brand,
yeah,
or even any other name brand. Nope. It must be Dole, and it must be 100% juice.
Okay. For me, I think ice cream, for me. Like, generic store brand ice cream, I'm just like, no, miss me with that. I'm not wasting the calories. I want the name brand ice cream that I recognize, the Ben and Jerry's, the Graters.
Okay, I was going to say, there's a ton of brand names, so which one is it?
Yeah, like the Ben and Jerry's, the Graters, Jenny's ice cream, you know,
okay.
So some of that name brand ice cream. But then Sterling Riggs, our buddy over at DRB, was like, gotta do peanut butter, and it's gotta be Jif. Never doing knockoff peanut butter. It's always peanut butter. And you know what?
Extra crunchy.
That's gotta be a close second for me, mm-hmm. I think, as well. Even though I do find myself, I'm okay with knockoff peanut butter because I feel like sometimes peanut butter's peanut butter. But especially if I'm getting the stir kind, then it's gotta be like the name brand peanut butter. So,
okay. Premium. Now, I will say this. There are some things where the store brand is our favorite. Like, mm-hmm. we love the Meyer brand mixed berry applesauce cups.
So
delicious. So I'll buy that. I will not buy name brand of that.
Jennifer rolls in and says, Heinz ketchup, hands down. Never going generic ketchup.
Okay, sure.
Foggy tweets, Kraft American cheese has got to be Kraft on the American cheese. And again, Heinz ketchup. So people aren't going knockoff ketchup. It's got to be the Heinz ketchup.
It's got to be the good stuff, for sure. And do they even make any other name brands of cheese? It's only Kraft, right?
Katie says Oreos. don't even come at me with those Hydrox cookies.
Oh, yeah, the generic ones, yeah. You know what? I've never actually been bold enough to try the generics, to be honest.
Heather says Pop-Tarts. You know,
Yes.
If I'm going to go Pop-Tarts, I'm going to go name brand, I think.
Yes, 100%. And Hot Fudge Sundae is the favorite.
We have gotten into so many discussions about this, and you're wrong. Sorry, that is an incorrect answer. Hot Fudge Sundae Pop-Tart is trash. It's got to be brown cinnamon sugar. So
that's like dessert.
Anyways, if you want to jump in, it's kind of a funny thread there at 99.7DJX.
Thanks for listening to the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show podcast.
Can't get enough.
Come back tomorrow for a brand new episode only on 99.7DJX.